Good morning. Good to see everyone here that's here this morning and realize there's people away as well. I appreciate the fact that we can lead in different ways. And you know, I think one of the things that I as a song leader appreciate is when instead of people being stuck on what they think the notes are saying to them, they look at the leader. Because we all will have different ways of leading. And Johnny, for example, you tend to start into your next verse sooner than I do, but that's fine. And when Johnny's leading, we need to watch his mouth and follow according to his lead. When I'm watching, we need to watch my mouth and follow according to my lead. Or Abe or whoever, all different ones that that lead Zach. And Joshua when he's here, because that's what song leading is. It's leading the songs. And things are written a certain way, but we also have our perception of how they're written, and sometimes I'm wrong, sometimes I'm right, sometimes anybody's wrong, but the leader is leading. So I would just encourage each of us to remember that and watch the mouth of the leader, and things will go best that way when we do what we can to follow. What I want to share on this morning is how to give the most glory to God. And at least a thing or two that Jim shared this morning already made me hear that in others' thinking as well. I think maybe something you prayed upstairs and something you shared from up here in relation to glory to God. And you know, in life, we have so many days to spend in life, and how we go about it either brings glory to God or it doesn't. And we have moments, and each moment can be used in a productive way or a non-productive way. What are we going to do with the time that we have here to make sure that we are meeting the cause that God has us here for, which is to bring glory to Him? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I ask that You would work in each one of our lives, each one of our hearts, our mouths. Lord, that we would know how to best give glory to You, that moment by moment, day by day, year by year, in each of our lives, those things that You wish to use us for, those things in which we can point people to You, in which we can glorify You, that You would help us, Lord, to know best how to bring that to pass. Lord, just bless in the remainder of this service today, and may You be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to start by turning to Matthew 6, this was one of the latter places that came to me when I was studying, thinking about this. And in the beginning of the chapter, in the first five verses, it's talking about not doing things to be seen of men. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. God will reward. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. What is prayer? Is it something we do so that others can see how holy we are? I hope not. Prayer is communication with God. And when we pray, we should be praying, beseeching the Lord, in looking for something, praising the Lord, and all of those things, not to draw attention to me or you. And if we would give glory to God, we would give less thought to how whatever it is that we need to do appears, and more, is what I'm doing in accordance with God and His will. When we live that way, when what matters to us is that God is honored, we can think less of our own appearance, what others might think of us, because it really doesn't matter. It really isn't a big deal, as long as they see God, as long as they give glory to God. Looking at verse 9 and following, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Following the example of Jesus, who ascribed greatness unto his Father, "Hallowed be thy name. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever." Now I'd like to just share a few thoughts here from 1 Corinthians 10. I don't know that we need to turn there, but it speaks of putting aside our own liberty for the sake of another's conscience and giving no offense, seeking not our own benefit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever we're doing, what is the effect of it going to be? Are we thinking about how what I do right now, is this going to impact someone for good? Or am I doing what I'm doing for my benefit? You know, not seeking our own benefit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So if there's a conscience involved, a tender conscience that someone else has, that something that we do may step on something in their life, this life's too short to have to do everything the way I want to do it. It doesn't matter. We have to say, hey, you know what? Eternity's coming. I want to be prepared and help others to be prepared for that, to the glory of God. We need to not only be careful about our actions, but also about our attitudes. What we convey can foster feelings and lead to actions in others that should all tend towards what will bring glory to God. So what I'm doing, what I'm saying in life, what you're doing, what you're saying in life, and that attitude that people pick up on, that they see, what does it cause, what does it spur on in the next person? You know, I could have an attitude of rebellion and not actually do the thing that I lead someone else to do, because that attitude is there and I physically haven't actually done the whatever it is that I fostered the feelings for, but maybe that attitude is able to be caught. You know, we need to have that pureness in heart that wants not only to not do what's wrong, but to not even appreciate it, not have something in us that would spur on others to do wrong. Hebrews 13:15 says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Our tendency in life is often to get to a point where we take things for granted. If we're not careful, take salvation for granted. I mean, after all, I mean, you know, it becomes something that's, we just can bank on. Well, yes, but we have a lot to give thanks for and in. do we take time to express to our families, to our friends, how glad we are to have them in our lives? Is that something that we can do too often? I mean, sure. Are any of us in much danger of doing that too often? Maybe I should say that. You know, we need to really remember to bless others, and we need to look at that in relation to God as well and remember how much we have to thank Him for and to continually give thanks to His name. I'm going to turn to 1 Peter 2 and read 12 verses there. The first 12. 1 Peter 2, 1 to 12. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You know, we oftentimes don't use some of the words that are here in our regular speech one to another. I mean, we don't call each other typically, unless maybe it's our spouse or our two-year-old, precious or dearly beloved, or seems like there was another one here as well. Some of these terms. But these things are precious. Jesus is precious. It says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Do we recognize him in endearing terms as who he is? Or do we take these things for granted? You know, there is so much that we have to be thankful for. Forgiveness is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And it's not a deserved thing, but it's a thing. And let's avail ourselves of the mercy of God and recognize what Jesus has done and show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And there was the other word I was looking for, marvelous. You know, yes, we might say some job well done. Oh, that's marvelous. But do we really appreciate the marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior? Glory to God. I'd also like to look at 1 Corinthians 6, 15 to 20. And then after that, I will leave it at that, realizing that there are two more parts to the service here today. First Corinthians 6, 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of precious, I'm adding the word precious, Christ, and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are called to be pure. The pure in heart will see God, and God is seen and glorified through the lives of the pure. May God bless.